Price and Ventura, the scheduled starters tonight. More on that, much more football talk as well, Bruins and Celtics too. But let's kick things off this afternoon by getting right to it. Patriots and the Colts this weekend. And with more on that, we're joined on the phone by Christopher Price of WEEI in Boston. Chris, how are you today?
I am honored to be the leadoff hitter in that lineup. It's an impressive group, and I'll try and set the bar high for that group of guys.
Yeah, you're more than just a table setter. You really are a run producer. It was just a quirk of the lineup today.
Sounds good. Well, I'll try and start it off right for you.
Well, of course, all the talk around the game, much of the talk at least, centers on Deflategate, and we know the Patriots say all the right things and put that behind them, but the reality is that this is a matchup that the Patriots have dominated in recent years.
Yeah, you look past what happened in last year's AFC title game and, you know, everything that happened in the wake of that game. These two teams have had some really intriguing matchups over the last handful of years, but, you know, to your point, I think New England has really done a good job handling them in a number of areas, particularly when it comes to running the football, whether it's LeGarrette Blount, whether it's Jonas Gray, you know, Shane Vereen, Stephen Ridley, whoever's been back there. They've been able to get quality yards against that Indianapolis run defense, and given the way these two teams look heading into this game and given what we've seen from the likes of Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount, it would seem to be the case once again this time around. But yeah, I think that, you know, I wrote earlier this week that, you know, this is not a real rivalry. I think that people, you know, kind of look at this game as kind of a grudge match. But, you know, when you look at the actual definition of the word, it hasn't been much of a rivalry. New England has really controlled the action from start to finish the last four, five, six times these two teams have played.
Speaking of the Patriots' running game prowess against the Colts, what's the latest on Deion Lewis's injury?
It's my understanding right now that it's not a long-term thing. I think that they're going to be cautious with him in this game, and if they do get up early, I don't think, you know, we're looking at a scenario where he's going to end up playing, you know, 100% of the snaps. But I certainly don't think it's going to be, you know, an issue for them long-term. I think that it's one of those things that showed up on the injury report, I believe it was yesterday for the first time. And so, it's my understanding right now that it doesn't appear to be, you know, the sort of long-term serious thing that could impact his season. But, again, tomorrow or Sunday night, they might just want to be, better safe than sorry, particularly if they are up in the second half.
The loss of Nate Solder, does that do much damage to their opportunity to run the ball this weekend?
Yeah, Solder was a good run blocker. I mean, he's not an interior road grade type, you know, along the lines of, say, a Brian Stork or a Logan Mankins, but I thought that he was, or had been, pretty good over the course of his career since he arrived in New England. I do think it's going to be interesting to see how that offensive line responds. I'm fairly certain that we're going to see Sebastian Vollmer move from right tackle to left tackle, and you're going to see Marcus Cannon and maybe Cameron Fleming and a healthy dose of Mike Williams, the tackle turned tight end, the guy who's really a tight end in name only, more of a tackled body. I think we're going to see more two tight ends set with Rob Gronkowski and Mike Williams on Sunday night and going forward as well. But I think it's going to more impact their work in the passing game. Obviously, working on Tom Brady's blind side, Solder was absolutely invaluable to the success of that offense in a lot of ways. I know he struggled last week against Greg Hardy, but, you know, show me a left tackle over the course of the career who hasn't struggled against Greg Hardy, quite frankly. So I think ultimately there is going to be a greater emphasis on getting the ball out quickly. We've seen that a lot over the first four games. It's all been rhythm, 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 tempo, 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 you know, those short intermediate passes to Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Deion Lewis, and I think we're going to see even more of that going forward now.
We're talking with Christopher Price. He's got a wonderful preview of the game on WEEI.com, and one of the keys that you mentioned in that is let Tom Brady be Tom Brady.
Yeah, and it's not rocket science here. You know, we kind of get caught up in some of the hardcore X's and O's, but, you know, when you see Brady operate at the level that he's been able to operate over the course of the first four games this season, I should say, you just kind of want to cut him loose. And like I said before, where they made their money this year, where they made their quality yards this year in the passing game are those short and intermediate routes with those receivers. And I think, you know, when we say let Brady be Brady, that's really the focus there. I don't think this is a passing game, even before Solder went down. This is not a passing game that's going to take a whole lot of deep shots downfield. That's their bread and butter. That's, you know, the fundamental part of their offense, and I think we're going to see more and more of that going forward, especially on Sunday night against the Colts.
On the other side of the football, can you tell us a little bit about Jamie Collins' development? Everywhere I look, he's getting accolades left and right. He's a stud.
Yeah, he really, really is. There's only, and I have to double-check the numbers here on this, but I've written about this a couple of times now. There's only four or five guys who, since the start of last year, have at least seven sacks and two interceptions, and he's one of them. You know, you look at a group of guys like Clay Matthews, and Julius Erpus, and Bruce Irvin, all also part of that grouping. So I think he's as dynamic a playmaker as this linebacking core has seen in an awful long time. He's able to run with tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. He's also able to rush the passer. We've seen both Collins and Hightower manipulate that A-gap masterfully over the course of the last year plus. And I think with the emphasis on the passing game now in the National Football League, you're going to need more linebackers like him really now more than ever. And I'm not saying that, you know, Gerard Mayo is being phased out, but when you go to that nickel defense, when you go to that dime package and you need to bring an extra defensive back on the field, you're not taking Collins off the field. You're not taking Hightower off the field. And I think they've earned that. And I think Collins in particular, I think his freakish athletic skills lend himself to a role in this new age of defense, this new age of pass defense, because he can do a little bit of everything. And again, he's just done a tremendous job, not only rushing the passer when needed, but also, you know, working those passing lanes and serving as a really good coverage linebacker.
They're preparing for two different quarterbacks this week, not knowing who Indianapolis will put out there. But whoever is there, it's important to get a pass rush, and that can't be just one guy putting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, the guy who really has, I think, exceeded all expectations on the defensive side of the ball. We talked about Lewis doing a little bit of that on offense, but on the defensive side of the ball, it's been Jabal Sheard. I think he's done a great job getting after the passer. He's also done very well when it comes to holding up at the point of attack against the run. And I do think, though, as you know, as wrote earlier, that they need to get a little more from somewhere else, whether it's Dominique Easley being more of a penetrative influence, you know, inside, or if, you know, Chandler Jones needs to have a breakout performance, or Rob Ninkovich, you know, needs to be a little bit more consistent when it comes to getting after the pass. They need to be able to get pressure from multiple spots. They've gotten pressure, really nice pressure, I think, over the course of the first four games, specifically from Jabal Sheard. But they need to kind of double down on that when it comes to the Colts on Sunday night. The biggest key, obviously, when you're talking about Luck, is making sure that, you know, he doesn't take off when things start to break down. He shows a great ability to run. And that's something you have to be mindful of. You have to be mindful of gap discipline and maintaining your lanes and all of that. But and I think it'd be a little bit easier if you did see Matt Hasselbeck, because, you know, he's not the quarterback. Luck is, for some reason, not the least of which he's not as mobile. So, ultimately, to answer your question, they do need to do a little bit better job when it comes to finishing, when it comes to getting home, when it comes to getting after the pass. They've been able to get good pressure, but I think they need to be a little bit more consistent going forward.
It's a 30-point lead. 20 seconds to go in the game, second and goal from the one-yard line. Any chance, Coach Bill says, Alice, just take a knee?
No. They want to leave no doubt in this one. And I know that I've been kind of swept all the deflate stuff under the rug and said that, look, this is a really, you know, fascinating matchup between two really interesting teams. But at the same time, the Patriots want to get their pound of flesh for you know, everything that they've endured. You know, going back to last year's AFC Championship game, and again, all, you know, everything that kind of came out of that. So I don't think if the Patriots are in a situation where they might kneel down, I don't think that they're going to, you know, go quietly in this one. If they get 50, they're going to want to score 60. And if they get 60, they're going to want to score 70. I say this only half jokingly, guys. The franchise record for points in the game is 59. They said it twice. And if they have a chance to break that on Sunday night, they're going to go for it.
I'm smiling.
I know. I'm excited. That made me happy.
Chris Price, WEEI in Boston. Great talking with you, as always. Enjoy the game, Chris, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
17 after 4 o'clock. Boston Insiders.